Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Twain G. from San Diego.
Good evening. My name is Twain, and I am an alcoholic. And I was born and raised in North Louisiana. And I have lots of good memories of myself when I was tiny and as a kid. But the predominant memory that I have is as far back as I can remember, I felt separate and apart. I felt unique. In one way, I felt like I was like really God's special, unique child. There was also a feeling of being separate and apart. I felt very separate. I felt very isolated. And later on in my childhood, I became frightened. And later on, after being sober for a number of years, I was able to later on take a look back at my childhood. But to make it brief right now, I was frightened. And I remember the teachers at school used to call attention to my conduct to my parents, because I was, like, during recess I would go hide behind the tree, and I hated recess. My favorite time of the school day was actually when we were in school, and I always did well in school. But anyway, I was just scared to death, and I was very depressed. But in Louisiana, we start drinking at a real early age back then. And my first time I had a drink was when I was 14 years old. And I remember I was with some friends, and we had those big old tall lemon lime ices where we would pour a whole bunch of Bacardi rum in it. And when I did that, it transformed my life completely. It was a great elixir. I suddenly felt alive. I felt vibrant. I've had a personality, and I was fun, and I was fun to be with. And alcohol, and later drugs were a great asset for me. I think when I was a kid, sometimes I think that if I hadn't have been for that, I might have gone on to commit suicide or something. Alcohol and drugs worked great for me for a really long time. Worked great for me. It didn't work great for others, though. I mean, sometimes the alcohol and the drugs would I'd be very judgmental, and I'd be very critical. And I remember when I was a senior year in high school, I went to this Jesus period. For that lasted for about 9 months, and I was a real, real, real jerk. But I came out of that, and in college and then graduate school, because of the drinking so much and so much drugs, I started to get a little bit paranoid. But anyway, basically, except for those paranoid spells when I'd be kind of manic and would be just a real jerk. Basically, it was a real asset for me. It helped me in many ways, I think, in my professional career, too. In my 20s and very, very early 30s, I was very competitive, and I wanted to be the very best at what I was doing. And I wanted fame and everything else, and I did really, really well. But then I would go through low spells, too. Could go up and go down. And when I was about 32 or 31, I can't remember, it was in 1988, I did a geographic, and I moved from North Louisiana to San Diego. I got a pretty good job here in my profession. And that was a really difficult change for me, because back in North Louisiana, I was kind of considered to be kind of a good-looking, hotshot professional. But out here, I was kind of average. The standards are a little bit different, they really are. Sometimes I think living in the Deep South is highly underrated, and that was a big blow for me, a really big blow. And I started drinking and using the others in my office. I got to be real close with about two or three of them, and we would do a lot of we would go get crocked and then do drugs during the day too. But anyway, my depression and my mental instability coupled with led me. I had to go get treatment. And the first, remember that quote? One of my favorite parts in the Big Book is taking a trip, not taking a trip. Because when I got out of treatment, I was in a debating society in my own head whether I should stay in San Diego, go to lots and lots and lots of AA meetings, work the program, or should I go live in Mexico? And I was torn between the two. I had this travel agent who was going to help book my stay down there, help me get started this program. I ended up, I called her one day and I canceled the trip. I called the next day and say, I want to go back again. So taking a trip, not taking a trip. That's my favorite quote in the whole Big Book, and I have it as my bumper sticker. I was real indecisive and I was real screwed up. But anyway, so I lived in Mexico for about a year. And then I came back and I returned to my profession. I was in and out of the program for about a year and a half. My brother, John, bless his heart, he passed away 5 years ago. He was the one who first introduced me to Alcoholics Anonymous. But it didn't take at all in the very beginning. I would go to meetings, but I would, there was a schism. You really have a schism going when you take a 90-day token three or four times, and each time you were drinking and using the night before you were taking the token. That's what I was. I was a mess. I was a real mess. I remember one time trying to. Talking to my sponsor on the telephone and had a cocktail and a joint, and then trying to cup the telephone as I was telling him how great sobriety was, I was really, really, really depressed, to say the least, and I was so dishonest, I think it was bordering on, whatever, psychosis, I'm not sure. I never did get a psychiatrist to give me a diagnosis of psychosis, but I always thought I was, But anyway, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I was about to go downhill again, and apparently all the good things I've been hearing y'all say at these meetings, it gradually sunk in, and I remember to this day, I was... nursing a beer. It was my first beer, and I was at a bar, and I set it down, and I knew that I was never ever going to drink again, and I haven't. And that was in January of 1992. And what really turned it around for me is I just made it a commitment that I was no longer going to be a liar, and I was always going to tell the truth, never going to take a token when I was not clean and sober. Worked the program. And I was real lucky. I finally got me a real nurturing sponsor who would hold me by the hand. I needed somebody who would really hold me by the hand. And I made a real good friend in AA, and I didn't want to let them down. They didn't want to let me down. I've had all kinds of pits and valleys, ups and downs, but gradually, over time, everything has gotten a little bit better, a little bit better. About a year, 2 years ago, I had a real bad spell at work when I was really acting crazy. It was self-will run riot, and I was not working the program. But I came around and surrendered. Surrender is the key for me. I got to turn it over. Got to let go. Let God. I'm relatively happy now, and it gets better and better. My daily serenity it depends upon... my spiritual connection for that day. If I'm putting AA first, putting God first, praying and meditating, then life is good. If I'm not doing all those things, then life can get kind of crazy. And I'm really honored that I got to be the 10-minute speaker tonight. And I love Alcoholics Anonymous. It saved my life. It continues to save my life. It is my spirituality. It is a way of life. Every time I come to a meeting, I always learn learn something about myself, and I learn something about y'all. And I really just want to thank God and AA. Thank you.